Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey, and Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigatti from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host Sophia on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and now on GhostHunting.com you can listen to as well. And congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating 12 years of broadcasting here on both networks, and you're doing a fantastic job, Sophia. Mom and Dad are proud of you, and you've helped a lot of people through the years. Everyone, feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 as well. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to get an avatar, and you're part of the LP family here. Thank you to all of our moderators throughout the years and patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys so much here, and to the site founder, Rob Sarek, for making this show possible too as well. Today, we welcome back renowned televised psychic medium, profiler, author, and medical intuitive, Jennifer Schaefer, as featured on Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew, The Ricky Lake Show, Monica the Medium, and she's regularly featured on major television and cable networks. Everyone visit JenniferSchaefer.com. That's with two Fs in Schaefer. JenniferSchaefer.com, Facebook Jennifer Medlin Schaefer, and Twitter at JM Schaefer. Upcoming, we have psychic Rick Hayes. He'll be on the 15th. April Bissette, the psychic housewife of New Jersey, on the 22nd. It seems like we have a lot of psychics, but the season, promotional season for events is coming up, so they have a lot of events to feature as well. Dark Side of the Apple, A True Story of Paranormal Attack, author Sabrina Marie. She'll be on the program on August 19th. Like the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on Facebook fan page. To learn of the guests as we learn of them real time, we have a lot of people that are scheduling their appearances too as well. So like the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on Facebook fan page. Also, to check out the memberships here on liveparanormal.com. They start as low as $2.99 a month. Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience here that are members. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors, DVDs as well. And also to support the vendors here on Live Paranormal. Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and on Kindred Spirits. He's monthly Mondays right here on Live Paranormal, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Coppock, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP4 iTunes downloads are available on the homepage of liveparanormal.com. And let's bring on the host here. Sophia, you're doing a fantastic job. Congratulations of 12 years here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 12 years.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. You have all these pages, too. You have the Twitter, Instagram. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli, even though I don't really go on there.
Okay, so, well, Sophia, tell us about your guest today.
Today we have on Jennifer Schaefer. She is a renowned televised psychic medium, profiler, and intuitive, as featured on Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew, The Ricky Lake Show, Monica the Medium, and many more. Everyone visit JenniferSchaefer.com, Twitter at JM Schaefer, and let's welcome her back into the show.
Well, Jennifer, thanks for coming on today. I'm trying to unmute you. That means we have a lot of people listening.
I'm here.
Jennifer.
Hello, everyone, and congratulations on 12 years. I was so excited, Sophia, when I saw, all those memories that pop up. And 10 years ago to the week, I was on the show, which was really cool.
Yes.
Wow.
It's amazing. I mean, it's incredible how long we've known each other. And, you know, thank you so much for coming on throughout the years and coming back on today.
Oh, of course. I absolutely love your show and everything that it does to help so many people. You have made so many people feel confident and not feel like they're, you know, out there when they've experienced certain paranormal things that have happened. And I'm so proud of your work and everything that you've done, your whole family. You know how dear your whole family is to me. Very excited to be back.
Thank you. And thank you for all of the work you do, too, in the field. You do help so many people with your abilities. Our family has seen that firsthand when you actually helped with a residential case down in Long Beach, too. So, I mean, it's just incredible, you know, how many people you've been able to help through the years, too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. It is kind of mind-boggling, the thousands and thousands of readings I've given, you know. But you know what, though? I have learned that I still love the magic. I still love all the things that I don't know. It's just so vast, this universe. And it's so exciting, you know. So I don't know. I don't think there's never a dull moment with this work, as you know. And I just have to make sure that I still, with all the cases that I do, it can be a little bit challenging with the content. I just still have to have that time for myself, which you've understood probably for yourself, about containing your own energy and like treating it as the highest currency you can ever possibly have, because without your health, you don't really have anything, right? And I've treated myself as a professional athlete with this line of work, not compared to anybody else, but I've had to, because people rely on that. You know, I don't take credit for the things that are said through me, but I do take credit for being in the space that provides it. Right?
Definitely. And with your abilities too, I mean, it's, like I said, so amazing how you've helped so many people. But how did that kind of all come about for you? How did you discover you had this ability? Was it an experience when you were younger, or did it kind of just start coming naturally through the years?
Well, it came naturally because I didn't know I had it. But they do believe that because I had seizures as a little kid, I had these Larynx Strider seizures. I was the ASAC in my case for these type of seizures at 3.5 months old. They believe that was the gateway. There was a doctor on staff that was from a British doctor that has seen it before because no other doctors saw this type of seizure. And he said that I've seen this before in the UK, and I was the eighth documented case for this particular seizure, and they gave me belladonna, which is a hallucinogenic and a poison. And eventually I grew out of it, my poor mother. But so they believe that was the gateway, whether I charted that or that was the gateway or whatever it was, or it was better for my Mormon parents to think that it was caused by something, so be it. But they also, you know, one of the things that I learned growing up, I wanted glasses so bad because of all the things that I saw. I just thought, you know, other people thought I was the only child out of seven that did not have to have glasses. I had 20/20 vision. And
yeah.
That's kind of mind-boggling in itself. But then you take it to where, okay, I was a stockbroker for 10 years, very successful one. And I just thought, you know, I was really smart when I knew everything about my clients. I handled conservative money, so that wasn't it. But I just didn't know the terminology. I knew all my boyfriend's codes. My friends would always ask questions. I always felt things. But it was just something that eventually I needed to figure out because it was taking a hold of me. And when you go through a phase where you feel like there's something missing in your life and you want to, you know, you want to figure things out, that's the phase that I went to, and Lisa Williams took me under her wing, and she taught me. And I had no intentions of ever doing this for work. That was never going to be – I didn't think that it was a day at first. And then eventually, because I was spending so much time working on cases, my husband said, he goes, you're going to have to make this work because you're taking away time from the children. And I'm glad he did because, you know, 14, 15 years later, I'm ecstatic to be helping people and to donate my time to law enforcement and families that are in need.
For sure. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, it's amazing that progression came so naturally for you. You know, when you kind of realized you had this ability, what do you think was the piece of advice or something you did that helped you progress the most with your abilities?
My father told me, he said, Jennifer, it's not your job to make anyone believe in anything. And my father passed. And he told me before, you know, a couple years before, he's like, Jennifer, you know, when he said that, don't, you know, it's not your job to make anybody believe anything. I kind of stood back. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, Jennifer, let them go through what they need to go through to understand it on their own. He goes, you just give the information. He goes, you've always been consistent in who you are. He goes, you haven't wavered. He goes, just get in and get out and let them. Don't take the joy away from them because it's not your job to make them believe in it. You can't take away their backgrounds or where they came from or who they know or whatever it is. He's just like, that was the greatest piece of advice that anyone has ever given me. Because it took away the fear of trying to prove anything. He was absolutely right, you know. And it, from that point on, it just felt like this whole weight was lifted. You know, when you have fear in this job, you don't get any type of fear you have keeps you away from all the information. It's imperative to really learn how to work within it and not be what I call the equalizer, where you're in charge of having judgment. Something else out there is going to equalize whatever's happening in this world. It's not to be put on you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I completely agree. I always tell people, I mean, if you don't believe in the paranormal, I completely get it. It's hard to believe unless you experience it yourself. Like, I'm not out to, you know, prove anyone wrong. Unless you're my best friend, Steven, then I will tell you you're wrong all day. But anyone else, like, you know, it's fine. Like, I totally get it. It is hard to believe. And I don't think there's any shame in that, you know, as long as you're not trying to tell me that, you know, my experiences are wrong. Like, I just think it's something, you know, you have to experience on your own. And we were just talking about my aunt, actually. she had me stay in this B&B in Monterey when I was like 15, and it was like this Victorian B&B, and I was like, this place has to be haunted. And she told me it wasn't, and I couldn't remember the name of the place for the life of me, and we just found it last night, and it was on a list of haunted locations. And I'm like, wow, my aunt really gaslit me on that one, because she told you that the paranormal wasn't real, but then also tell you about an experience she had. So it's just funny, you know, it's just one of those things people have to experience on their own. So I can see why that, you know, advice helps you so much, especially as a psychic, you know, because you do get this information, but like your dad said, it's really something, a journey someone has to experience on their own.
It really is. Like I was, you know, you've heard about the submarine, right? I think everybody has. And I was asked a week prior, you know, before then everything broke out, what, you know, when it first hit, what I thought about it, you know, by some of my FBI agents. And I told him, I said, I saw something, you know, you can't explain how this happens. That's my point. And I told him, I saw it implode. And I wanted to be wrong. Everybody wants to be wrong when you get information like that. That's not going to help anybody. But, you know, eventually they knew on Sunday. But I'm just saying, the information that people get, you know, of course you don't have to believe that. I didn't even want to believe it myself, right? You know, you don't want to go to a place thinking it's haunted, even though you know it is. That was really funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Later, by the way.
She's always doing that to me.
That's amazing. I think that's great. I think that's really funny. It is very, it is something that everybody has their, you know, everybody perceives information differently, as you know. So some people might get feelings associated with something that happens, or they might see pictures, or they might, I mean, how do you perceive information, Sophia? Is it energetically that you just feel it, or do you see, I know what
it's different. I mean, the only time I saw like kind of like a pictured image in my head was of like a person. Normally if I see a ghost, it's a shadow person. That's super exciting. That's what everyone wants to see. Like the creepiest thing. That's what my brain works with. So that's really fun. But the only time I saw like a pictured image was at my old house, and I saw the ghost kind of like a Polaroid image, but everything like I knew about him was like as if I knew it about myself. Like, I know my name, Sophia. Like, I've just always known that. And so that's kind of what it was with him. Like, any other time, it's the one time I would say that my parents feel like I picked up on something when they were trying to help with the cold case thing. I just got this nagging feeling to say sunglasses. And so I just said it, and my dad's like, he used to wear Ray-Bans. I was like, oh, I'm going to stop talking now. So it's just kind of like, it's just like, it just pops in my head, and it's just a thing like that, or just a feeling.
Yeah.
How about yourself, though?
So that's what, on cases, you know, as you know, we do not solve cases, but we help assist with cases. And it might be something really small as sunglasses, and you might, you know, we don't get feedback right away. You know, it sometimes takes time, but if you get somebody with sunglasses, they might have five suspects, and there might be one that always wears a particular kind of sunglasses that now they're going to focus on. See, the information that you get might have multiple layers to it. And so, you know, it's like I said, for instance, I worked on a case, and I said that, you know, I see two bulldogs, and this is what the FBI, I'm like, Jennifer, we've been surveilling in this house for, you know, a year and a half. There's no bulldogs. I'm like, there's some, okay. So then I said to him, it might be a name of, you know, one of the guys. It might be like, whatever it is, it's such a big deal. You guys need to either look up or look it up or figure it out, because there's definitely two bulldogs. I'm just not sure in what capacity. Maybe the guy's wearing a shirt, right, or something. Well, they get there. They go upstairs to the guy's room that they've been surveilling, one of the biggest guys, one of the biggest, you know, illicit fentanyl people, and they see two bulldogs on the bedspread in his room. And they're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And so that's when I'm like, look up. That's when they called the hazmat team in. And there was fentanyl above. It was up above. One of my agents actually got the fact that it was up above. Like, that is nutty, right? So
yeah.
It's and I think everybody can work on cases. I teach it. You're really good with forensics. You like I mean, since you're really like excited, like, are you really good in forensics? Something with forensics. it's very interesting how things come in, and it might be just one little thing. And if I was, you know, I'm used to working with them. I have been for years. But in the beginning, that would have driven me. If I would have said that, like, no, there's nothing, I would have, like, crumbled because I wouldn't have had that much confidence in what came through. It's not necessarily confidence in myself, but I have confidence in the information that it will mean something, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely get that, you know. I did an investigation in Montana a few years ago when you were talking about picking stuff up. And I just felt like there was something to the left in me. And I was like, you know, I promised my mom when I went in here I would actually speak up, because normally I'm like, oh, this is just, I'm just psyching myself out. That's not actually there. And I was like, I feel something over here. And the homeowner's daughter said, oh, yeah, a psychic who had come here a few years before said that there was a man who hung himself there. I was like, that's wonderful, because that's the second time I've picked up someone who hung themselves. So that's just shadow people and that are like my thing. But one of the times that I had actually kind of picked up a presence like that, I could feel my throat tightening in the area where someone had hung themselves. Have you ever had that with kind of like some medical intuitiveness or just picking up on how someone died?
Yeah. So what I have learned over the years that when someone dies in a tragic way and they're new, like, so I'm looking for somebody that, let's just say I'm looking for somebody that's missing. It's a different kind of energy because they don't have really boundaries, you know, at first. And so they want to let you know what's going on. And like, I worked on a case with, a really big case in New York, and, it was dealing with someone that was, it was a female that was jogging. And to this day, I mean, feeling what I felt it, what she went through, like you said, I had a physical reaction to it. And I'm really good about not taking that on. You know, I always make sure I look at it like a hologram, and then I'll get the pain areas, but I don't have to take on the feelings. But I've noticed, so when you've asked that question, when it's a case, I do feel like I'm like, I can't breathe, or I feel heavy in my chest, or I don't feel anything, but then I see, you know, a splatter of blood, which usually is for me an indication of a gunshot. It is very interesting how that happened. But yeah, early on it affected me more. Now with what I do, I just make sure I get in and I get out. I just have to, that's the only way I can be productive. Otherwise, the cases that I've worked on, to be really entangled with it, it takes you down. It took me down early on, and I had to learn how to handle it. So.
Yeah, I can completely understand that. When that happened to me with the kind of choking feeling, I was at the Glen Tavern Inn, and I was just looking at movie posters. I wasn't trying to investigate nothing. I was just being super normal.
Oh, my God.
And so, it was literally just to have incredible movie posters. Yeah, and just like everything normally happens to me when I'm being like super normal. I don't know like why that is. I don't know if it's because I'm an overthinker. So if I'm investigating, I'm overthinking everything to death. But
that is something that, you know, when you're it happens, like, you know, I've solved some of my best cases driving, I help solve some of the best cases just by driving, because when you're able to kind of check out, which you call being normal, which is kind of funny. You're able to, it's just a different wavelength. You know, for instance, Tyler Henry, you know, scribbles. I scribble. I have my iPad and I scribble what I do when I have clients. You know, the only time I don't do that is when I have a large event. You know, but it is very, your conscious mind is going somewhere else where they can give you information from the etheric realm.
And
so
with your
your normal is actually abnormal, but that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people would agree with that. My normal is definitely abnormal. My parents keep calling me Wednesday Adams recently, so I think I'm just
totally
on that
one. Oh my gosh, you've been Wednesday since the day I met you. Oh, that's so
yeah.
true.
My mom actually wanted me to tell you, my dad's adopted, and I recently found his mother's side of the family through searching through a series of obituaries. So I found his
wow.
mom.
She's coming through obituaries.
She's alive. I just was searching through obituaries until I found someone that lined up with what's on his adoption record. So,
wow.
I did that.
Yeah. Good for you.
But, thank you. Speaking of diving deep and, you know, kind of doing investigative work, as you said, you do work with law enforcement. How did that all come about for you, beginning that work?
A friend of mine had someone that was in town that was visiting her, and she said something really tragic happened to her daughter. Is there any way? She's like, mm-hmm. I know you're just you're looking into things, but she's like, is there any way you can talk to them? And I'm like, sure. You know, I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm capable. I had no idea what I was capable of. And then it kind of started from there. Long story short, they said it was a suicide or natural causes first, and they changed it to a suicide. I won't get into the story, but I knew it was a murder. There was no way that it was natural causes at 22. There was no way she committed suicide. And that's kind of how it started. And that was, you know, it's been 10 years since she's been gone. And mm-hmm. then I went on Rick a few times, and that's how it just started catapulting in, because people found out that was my pro bono work. If they have a connection to a case or if law enforcement did, they can contact us. But I've never once offered information without being asked. Never once called a hotline. I've never once, you know, I just don't, that's like law enforcement's number one pet peeve, is they'll get 1,000 phone calls from a missing person, and like 500 of them say they're psychic and tell them where the body's at, you know. They just can't do it. There's no, it's just, so because of that, I've been fortunate enough, or whatever, however you want to call it, to mm-hmm. I've never had to offer information. They just have come to me, and that's just kept going. And I feel good. I'm happy that I'm able to help. And I have people that, you know, when there's, you know, a case where somebody goes missing for a couple of days and you have that time period crunch to get them, I call in other intuitives. Mm-hmm. I'll call, you know, Cindy Causa, Joyce Jackson, you know, Lisa Williams, I've called in on a few things. So I think the more eyes on the unseen is better because we all work differently. And what's the most fascinating part is we come up with the same answers, very similar answers. So we create like almost like an algorithm, which is
absolutely
crazy. Yeah.
When you're doing work with other psychics, do you think that it kind of enhances your abilities too, or do you think your abilities kind of stay the same, just having that, like, connectivity with, you know, the other side?
That's very interesting. I think that I absolutely think that we bring each other up. So, excuse me. I think that when you're with people that are more intuitive, and everyone is intuitive, mind you, but when people trust their intuition a little bit more, you kind of just get in this, you kind of bring the other people up, and it's not a hierarchy, but mm-hmm. you bring them up to your level, and you learn from them just like they're learning from you. It doesn't matter whether you've been a psychic for all these years, a professional psychic or not. You know, I have a lot of friends that when we hang out, we get the similar, like, they'll get similar hits. So you do bring up, like, you do escalate and help each other, absolutely, without trying.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. It's so great just to have that relationship with, you know, people you can trust and, you know, be able to, you know, kind of lean on each other, because it can be overwhelming getting those messages sometimes. So I'm glad
yeah.
that you do have, you know, other people with abilities
thank you.
That you can go to. I do know we have
Absolutely.
To take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions and some callers.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Today we welcome back renowned televised psychic medium, profiler, author, and medical intuitive Jennifer Schaefer. Everyone visit JenniferSchaefer.com. That's JenniferSchaefer.com. Facebook, Jennifer Medlin Schaefer. And Twitter, at JM Schaefer. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on MyParanormal.com. We'll take your calls next.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on MyParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave, left out of the audio bites there. I'm trying to bring it. We have a lot of people in the show, so it looks like I'm trying to open all our lines and bring everybody in. And we have a caller, Charlene, that's in the chat room right now, so feel free to jump into the chat room as well. But quickly, Jennifer, as I'm opening lines, is there something you sense or feel about Sophia during the course of the show?
I just once talked about physical. Did she hurt something? I did feel her.
Oh, all the time.
Spiritual growth. I did feel her bumpy. Spiritual growth, but hold on a second. Let me tap in. Is she? I know that we're having the anniversary, but is she graduating from something or going into something else? Right now.
I mean. Not currently. I'm trying to work on creating more paranormal geared projects. So hopefully I'll be able to make that become reality.
I do feel you doing more excursions. Like you're going to be doing, like, you know, the Queen Mary. I know that you do that. But I do feel like you're doing more things. Like I even saw European adventures with you, like going to the UK.
I'd love to go to the UK.
I think over the next couple of years, you definitely will for work.
Yeah, I feel like in the graduating sense, I'm kind of trying to graduate into being more creative and proactive paranormal-wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big undertaking what you've done, but you can build on that. And I do feel you, I see, well, obviously you're interviewing, but you're going to take it to another live level, a visual level, it feels like, as well. And I don't know if you've been thinking about that, too, or dealing with locations. Have you been doing that?
Yeah, I mean, really, I'm just in kind of the writing stages, just, you know, like what locations I would love to go to, you know, if I had the chance to go investigate and travel and stuff like that. Because, you know, in California, it's a little hard to find locations sometimes.
Yeah, well, we have one. We have the Roosevelt. If you ever want to go to something really creepy, there's a convention.
Oh, I
West
would
Hollywood.
Love to go there.
Hollywood stuff, right? That would actually be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I'd do that with you.
I'm so fascinated by old Hollywood. Just stuff like that is like the best to me.
I love it. Lisa had me do something where she had me go on an excursion with her to go find dealing with Marilyn Monroe, and I was asked to go
I was asked where her actual casket was. They just, you know, had to be like, okay, do you know where it is? And I walked straight to it. It was the most, it was the craziest experience. I love Marilyn. Wow. I actually see you also taking all of your, like, all of the things that you've already been through and putting that into a book, like your own excursion book of what you've been through already. You already have everything. It's just about putting it into something.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm working on the writing stuff right now. I will actually be a part of a Women's in the Paranormal book that comes out next year. So kind of my life story.
I love that. I did see that, but I didn't know it was I didn't know it was another artist. I didn't look, but I did see that. That's awesome. That's amazing, Sophia.
Did you
hurt your hand or anything, or one of your fingers? Did you hurt your hand recently?
I did walk into a door frame, and I had my hand hurt for, like, a little bit. I had, like, a big bruise on my hand. My dad was serious. I'm very clumsy. I actually walked into a door frame that I wasn't going through. So I'm not sure how I did that. I walked
so
into
funny.
A door frame I wasn't
I'm
going
so-
to.
You know what? My daughter called me when we were in Europe last year. She's like, Mom, she goes, it's so hard to get you to go do things, like, to get me to get on the right direction. I told her she was in charge of getting us places. I'm like, I've arranged everything. You just have to get us there. And she's like, it's like walking with a ghost on a leash. I'm like, what? I'm like, what did you just call me? She goes, you're a ghost on a leash, Mom. And it was so funny to me. I'm like, you are absolutely right. That's the same thing as you. You're a ghost on a leash. You just like bumping into walls that you don't know. Like my husband just sits there and laughs. He goes, you definitely see things that are not here, but you also don't see the things that are most of the time.
Yeah, I'm so oblivious. That's... Like, I got LASIK everything. I have 2015 vision, and I will still walk into a wall 2 feet in front of me. My mom one time was like, we need to replace the doormat. I was like, what's wrong with it? She was like, it's bad. I was like, I haven't noticed. She's like, well, you don't go anywhere. And I'm like, no, I just don't pay attention.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Hey, Jennifer, you up for phone call?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, we have Charlene calling in. Charlene, she's in the chat room, too, as well. I'm trying to unmute her mic. There you are, Charlene. You're on with Jennifer Schaefer.
Hi, I don't hear you yet. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. I can hear you.
Oh, you can. Okay, I didn't hear unmuted. Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if it's... I'm looking for help. So my son is in a lot of trouble. So I'm just
praying. Okay. What is your son's name?
Zachary.
Charlene. Zachary. Okay. Give me a second with that. All right.
Thank you.
It feels like this is like his third major time. I'm getting. Does that make sense to you?
What did you say major? What did you say before that?
His third time, like, it feels like there's something with the third time of him going through something.
Okay.
Hold on a second. So the way it comes through is in pictures and in feelings and emotions. Give me a second. Okay. It also feels like everything's going to work out. Like, he's going to be fine. He just got, like, there's something that happened, like, in, what was it? Something started happening in February with him?
Yeah, well,
it was like the
climax was Friday. February.
February, that's what it felt like. And then it feels like he keeps getting into this loop. Like, he wants to do something, he just keeps coming back to it.
Yeah.
Right? And there's some influence. I don't know if it's a girlfriend or a partner, too, that happened in January. Or did they have one?
It is a woman that's involved, and that is it's pretty insidious. But she is at part of the helm of it all.
Okay. So what would you like to know about the situation? What is it
that
the
charges are dropped
situation?
And he's able to get on with life, or is he going to have to do prison time?
Okay. That was the third. So when I got three, I felt like it was a three-strike rule or something. Give me a second.
And give me his name one more time.
Zachary.
Zachary. I don't feel him going to prison.
Okay.
There's going to be either community, there's going to be something that he's going to have to do, but I'm not feeling prison.
I feel he's learned his lesson. It's just, he's just in so much trouble, and he's already had such a hard time. Such a hard time. He was in a catastrophic accident, has a brain injury, and it's so freaking complicated, and he was targeted.
Yeah.
He brought it on himself. You know, he's not a saint. I do not want to be that person, because he's not. But he is a beautiful, spectacular human being who does not really, anyway, you know, whatever. It's helping him to do things on a soul level deeper. But
yeah.
And so there's an awful lot of people that are suffering, myself and his son, drastically so, not to mention cost.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I just want to see everything be able to get dropped, and I'm just praying that that happens, and
I feel like the major thing is going to get dropped, but they might get him on a tech, you know, something else, but I do feel like the major thing is going to be dropped, and I do feel him, like, I don't know if he's found God, or if he's going to church, or something, or more on a spiritual path. That will be happening.
Thank God.
Towards
yeah.
the end of the year, it feels like. Yeah, and just hang in there. I know it's rough, but
oh,
I don't film during prison.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm praying it gets dropped. I'd like to see her caught for what she's done, because it's entrapment.
She's awful.
It's sad,
yeah.
And she's connected with the mom to his child, and it's just, it's like there's malice.
Yeah.
It's so insidious, and like, it's hard to believe that there would be that kind of evil amongst people we know.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. If not me, who, you know, like, who better? I guess I'm strong, I'm capable, but frig, I don't know that any of us deserve it, but anyway.
Right. Well, hang in there. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you guys so much.
Call in.
Okay, appreciate your
all. Thank you. And then also, she can follow up with you too, jennifershafer.com. That's jennifershafer.com. Are you okay with one more? I know it can be taxing and tolling sometimes with that.
No, not at all. Okay. I wish we can get through a lot. It's
okay.
S-H-A-F-F-E-R.
Yeah, we have a 914 caller. A 914. Hi, what's your first name? Hi, 914 caller. Are you just listening in? Oh, yeah, we might have somebody listening in there. Yeah, sometimes people call into the show and they just listen in and stuff, and we catch them off guard. Oh, go ahead, Sophia.
Well, Jennifer, recently I've been, you know, kind of wondering, what is one thing, you know, that about the paranormal as a whole? Obviously, with your abilities, you're able to know a little bit more about the other side than, say, us regular investigators. But one question about the paranormal that you wish you had an answer to.
All the spirits that I see at night, where they belong to. Every night that I go to bed, it looks like when I put my hand up, I can't see my hand. It is packed with spirits, but they're not, I don't know who they belong to. I don't necessarily talk to them. I ask them, you know, I always say, like, I need to get to sleep. But I don't know if anybody can answer that question. Like, where do all these spirits come from? Like, not where they come from, but who do they belong to, or is that just a, you know, what is it? It's you know, when I was young, it was paralyzing. Mm-hmm. Now that I know that nothing can hurt me, they're not bad. It's nothing bad, but it's just something that I just wonder at times for the paranormal, like, where does all that energy come from, that vortex of energy?
Absolutely. And when you're saying this is happening at night, with your abilities, do the spirits kind of ever invade your dreams, or do you ever get like psychic impressions or premonitions while you're asleep?
All the time. But it's always like my subconscious ruins it too. So I'll go to sleep and I'll ask, you know, I always ask questions, and I can actually wake myself up in a dream and write things down. Like, I woke up one night or in the middle of the night, and I was getting that somebody was going to be really sick, and sure enough, that happened. But I wrote it down, and I went back to sleep. But it shows up wonky. It just shows up differently. But I've
gone, you know, there's times where I'll go to sleep working on a case and I'll get all the information the second, you know, as I'm waking up, waking to, and I'll write it all down, and it's usually pretty spot on. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's that state of being in the Delta Theta state is what I do all day long being awake. And so when I'm actually asleep, I'm even more, I'm not resist, you know, I'm even more less mm-hmm. resistant to the information coming through. So it just, you know, it could be one little thing that changes a whole case or a direction. But
for
yeah,
sure.
dreams,
I mean,
are very, dreams are very, very, very powerful.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, just to be able to have that too in your sleep. It can be hard. I know definitely sleep is probably one of the hardest things for me. But I have PTSD from living in a haunted house. So that's what it comes down to for me. With a ghost. So, you know, just that trauma that's there. That's always fun. I mean, speaking of your abilities too, you worked on a book, which is Backstage Pass to the Flip Side, Talking to the Afterlife. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that book and how that came about?
Oh, my gosh. So Richard Martini, I read one of his books. This was, I think, close to 10 years ago. And it was called, It's a Wonderful Afterlife. And I was fascinated with it and his audio book. And it's richardmartini.com. You can find him everywhere. But he lives in Santa Monica. And so I looked him up on Facebook. And I'm like, I sent him a DM. I said, listen, I'd be more than happy to donate my time for research. And he kind of, like, we set up a phone call the following week. I was so, like, excited because I live in Manhattan Beach and he lived in Santa Monica with his family. I'm like, you know, what do you think about this? And he's like, yeah, mediums aren't my thing. I'm doing, you know, I'm studying hypnotherapy and past life regressions. And he goes, wait a second, you work on cases? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, how would you like to work on one of the most infamous cases in the world? And I'm like, sure, I don't know what I don't know what I'm capable of. So he came down, he filmed me at my office, and it was about Amelia Earhart. He's the top guy that people go to for Amelia Earhart in Hollywood. He has 30 years of research on her. And I gave him a piece of information. I gave him a piece of information that he didn't know about. And when he left, because I told him, I said, you know what? She's saying that, you know, two GIs found her arm or found a body, you know, one of her arms. And he's like, okay, I won't judge it, but all right. He left my office that day and got a call from some intelligence agency, I think in, I don't know if it was Washington. And they're like, you're not going to believe this, Richard. Body part, her arm. It was under class. It was crazy. There was no way I could have known it. It was in a book that was written, I think, in 1965. Something super crazy. And he's like, okay, there's got to be something to this. And so we started, back to your question, sorry, that took a little long. We started talking once a week, and we've been doing it for the last 8 or 9 years. And we have our own podcast, Hacking the Afterlife, and he's written now 5 books. So Hacking the Afterlife, there's books, volumes 1, 2, and 3, is a compilation of all of our investigations into the afterlife, which is kind of cool. And so he's taken everything and just put it into books.
Well, I mean, that is awesome. I mean, that you developed that relationship with him and were able to make a connection like that, that he was able to verify pretty quickly. I mean, that's incredible for you to pick that up. And then, you know, it'd be so obscure that he didn't even know about it until he got that phone call.
Yeah, and that's what made him. I mean, but that's how this all works, you know? It just, they probably on the other side of him, you know, they couldn't wait for us to meet. And then he's written all these books since we've met. And he's just, he knows so much in that head of his. And he's taught me how to be a better medium. He's taught me to ask more, you know, we have a podcast where we just ask the other side what's going on. And so he's asked, you know, there's been people where I've talked to Steve Jobs, for instance. And then eventually his daughter actually is my, you know, now my client. I talked to Kobe Bryant in the ethers. I've talked to people that have known Kobe. Well, then I ended up talking to his family. Like, there's been so many crazy situations that I've just had to learn and not judge it. and he's just helped me out tremendously, which has been wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, just amazing that you were able to do all of that work and actually connect with the families themselves. Through your time with him, you know, talking to these notable individuals, what was the most, you know, interesting thing that you learned or the craziest thing that you were able to pick up?
One of the best things I learned, most heartfelt things, is from Robin Williams. And we asked him, what is it going to take? What is, like, the number one thing? Because I always want to know from the other side what it is that you guys value the most now being over there. And he said, and it's so simple, but it was so profound at the time, love. Love, actual love. Be loved. Like, when you get to the other side, you really are going to be asked, like, did you love well? Were you kind? Were you compassionate? Or did you hold yourself back? Did you hold yourself back because you felt like you had judgment from, you know, whatever it is? Like, nobody from the other side has ever said they wish they would have held back. And it really has helped me so much understand how important it is to live. The other side has made me want to live. I want to make sure that every single day I can treat it as something that will be a memory for somebody else later on, especially when it comes to family. And
that is great.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that is great advice to get.
What am I going to say to my daughter through another medium? You know, what am I going to bring up?
Yeah.
I always said, though, we have a code that I'm going to come through getting all these senses of cooking, the smells and everything else. They're going to know it's me because I don't cook, because I'm just going to do that to prove that to them. That's going to be our code, you know. But it's just, not living every day as if it's your last, but living every day as you've done well. Did you treat yourself well? Did you love yourself, you know? Or did you blame a family member for 30 years that you couldn't, you know, for the way that you are? You know, it's really about getting out of guilt and out of fear, because that's really the true essence of love, right? Craziest things. Let me think. There's so many crazy moments that I've had. I was at the Chateau Barmont up in L.A., which is haunted is crazy haunted. And I was actually talking to Dave Chappelle. I was reading Dave Chappelle and a bunch of other people. We were laughing hysterically. And one of the comedians came in that killed himself there, John Belushi. I believe that he died there or however it is. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I jumped so – I didn't realize he – like, I had no idea he died there. And I jumped so high. And he showed me Blues. It was a crazy – to me that – well, A, I was talking to Dave Chappelle, and B – it was crazy that people were showing up that died at the Chateau Vermont. That was crazy for me. I guess that was kind of funny because he literally like spooked me out. Like I jumped because he literally acted like a ghost and made me like freak out of my chair. That was funny.
I mean, that's what a comedian would do if they passed out. I would do it just because
right?
I'd probably be bored enough to do it. So it's definitely.
Dave laughs so, right? I would do the same thing. You and I both would. We'd both have figured it out. That's so funny. But yeah, that was actually one of my funnier moments.
I can imagine. I know we're coming towards the end of the show. The hour went by so fast. But are there any websites, upcoming interviews, events, or anything you would love to mention?
Sure. I do a lot of, I do private events. I call them wine and spirit events, as well as events at Uncorked. There's an Uncorked wine shop that's in Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach. And I'll be doing one this Monday where I read the audience, and I'll also be doing one in their store in Manhattan. I'm actually gone for quite some time over July. I'm gone for the whole month. I'm home for 3 days. But in August, it'll be returning. And we're going to, I think that's just a good, it's a fun way for people that are new to this or new old to this, if they don't want, if they're too afraid to have their own personal reading, to go to a live event. It makes it a lot more fun. And you don't have to drink wine. You can drink water. It's not that. But it makes it, it's very fun to sit there with your friends and have them all keep you in check as well. Like, you know, it's fun watching it happen. It's one of my favorite things to do versus just finding dead bodies. That sounds a little morbid, but yeah.
Well, it's true.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. It was wonderful. I love
you
guys.
Thank you so much for coming on. We love having you on. You know, you're such a great friend of the family, and we just love having been able to know you for all of these years. So thank you again so much for coming on today.
Okay. And let me know what I can do to help. All right, help you. All right, have a great afternoon. And
thank you, Jennifer.
And happy Father's Day to Freddie.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Jennifer.
Thanks,
she's all
Jennifer.
Ready for that Uncorked event coming up. Well, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Jennifer is such a great guest. As always, I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
You know, thanks, Charlene, too, and all the best to her situation and also, too, with her son. And thank her. Thanks for calling in, Charlene. The Uncorked event, you can go to jennifershafer.com. That's jennifershafer.com. And, again, on Twitter, she's at JM Schaefer. And Facebook, Jennifer Medlin Schaefer. Upcoming, we have on the 15th, coming right up, psychic Rick Hayes. He'll be returning to the program. We have April Bissett. She's the psychic housewife of New Jersey. She'll be on the 22nd. Dark Side of the Apple, A True Story of Paranormal Attack by author Sabrina Marie. She'll be on August 19th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. So like the Ghost Host, Sophia Templite, on liveparanormal.com. She's on ghosthunting.com, too, as well. But if you do like that page, you will learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We have a lot of people securing their guest spot date. So great show, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
This is psychic medium Erica Buterhaney, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Stay parafabulous.
Hi, this is Debbie Plessy on Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.